Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities with Public Schools Unite Us initiative, and United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is Krista Hestorfer, Director of Public Affairs for Hunger Solutions New York. Hunger Solutions wants the state to establish and fund a statewide permanent healthy school meals for all children in New York. In this current state budget, they say it would allow all schools in the National School Lunch Program, which is called NSLP, to offer free meals to all students, regardless of their household income. If you want to find out more about Hunger Solutions, head to schoolmealsforallny.org. Welcome, Krista Hestorfer.
Thanks so much for having me.
Obviously, this is an important issue. It goes right along with education and the money that goes into education in New York, the idea that children, many of them, come to school undernourished, and they need healthy food for a number of reasons, not only for their bodies, but for their minds. And I know that you have made progress over the years in this area. Maybe you could start, Krista, by explaining to us the campaign and how you've gotten to where you are right now.
Of course. So the Healthy School Meals for All New York Kids campaign is a group of more than 290 organizations advocating for New York State to provide school breakfast and lunch at no cost to all students across the state. We at Hunger Solutions New York are proud to co-lead that campaign with our colleagues at Community Food Advocates, and we've been really encouraged by the overwhelming support of so many partners across the state, from the teachers union to the PTAs to healthcare advocates, even New York Farm Bureau is signed on. So it's been really incredible to see these diverse voices coalesce around one common sense policy that has widespread benefits across all of these different sectors and in every corner of the state. We are on our second year of advocating together for universal school meals in New York, and last year we made significant progress. Last year's state budget included $134.6 million for an expansion of free school meals. That funding allowed more than 1,200 more schools to offer free meals to all of their students starting this school year. So some listeners may have seen their local school or a neighboring district announce that this year they're able to provide meals for all of their students at no cost. That's a direct result of that state funding. So we're at a point now where more than 80% of New York students have access to free school meals, which is pretty incredible. But there is still this gap. And as always in New York, a seemingly small percentage is actually a huge number of kids. There are about 320,000 students who still don't have access to a universal school meal program. So we are back at the table this year. We think that New York can and absolutely should do this. Eight other states have already established a universal school meal program for their kids, including our neighbors in Massachusetts and Vermont. So we're urging Governor Hochul and our legislative leaders to close that remaining gap in this year's budget.
And just for context, that remaining gap is largely on Long Island and in the Capital Region, Hudson Valley, and in Western New York. So most of it upstate. But the key question remains, we're having a negotiation right now. The governor on Wednesday this week indicated she's going to extend the deadline till April 4th. We've got a holiday weekend coming up. You know, a lot of the decisions in my observation over the years have already been made. But you, as you've told me before we came on, did not see this final gap funding in the executive budget. So you're trying to make a last push here.
That's exactly right. We have incredibly strong support in the legislature. We were very grateful that both the state Senate and assembly fully funded a universal school meals program in their One House budget proposals. But we didn't see this in the executive budget this year. We saw that the governor included sustained funding for the expansion last year, which is incredibly important. And we really appreciated her continuing that program. But it didn't go any further to close that remaining gap. That certainly doesn't mean that she can't or won't support this as they go into final budget negotiations. And we really hope that she will champion this. She's been very mindful of the affordability crisis in New York State. And this policy is an opportunity for her to say to families, here's one less bill to pay. You can spend a little bit less at the grocery store. It's really meaningful, direct financial relief that families can see in their day-to-day budget. So we're hopeful that the governor and legislative leaders will be able to work together on this and get it across the finish line.
It's interesting to me, and we're talking to Krista Hestorfer, Director of Public Affairs for Hunger Solutions New York. It's interesting to me that this issue of school meals kind of crosses the two biggest places in the budget where we fund, healthcare and education. It obviously directly is in education, but it's about the health of students as well. And I can hear the counter arguments. I can hear listeners saying, well, you know, we pay too much for education already. Why should we be paying for meals for students? And, you know, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. How do you answer people who are on the other side of this argument?
There's a real misperception that last year's funding, that the expansion of free school meals covered all the kids across the state who, quote unquote, need this. And everyone else is doing just fine. The schools that were left behind are serving wealthy communities who don't need any additional assistance from the state. And the reality, of course, is much more complicated than that. We see food insecurity in every school community across the state. We looked at the schools that are left behind that still don't have a universal school meal program. And across those schools, 1 in 5 students are considered economically disadvantaged. That doesn't even count the families who are just above the income guidelines for assistance programs like free school meals, like SNAP or Medicaid, these various means-tested programs that we often look to as an indicator of need. There are many families across New York State who don't qualify for those programs, but they're really struggling to make ends meet.
Can I stop you right there, Krista, just for a minute, because I want to give that example. The school nutrition director in New York wrote a commentary in the Times Union saying the following: there's nothing more heartbreaking at my job than telling a family of four earning just $56,000 per year, far below a livable wage in New York, that they make too much money to qualify for free school meals. So there's a donut hole of sorts there where these folks who just really can't afford it and are still working can't provide nutritional food for their families.
That's exactly right. There's a strict income cutoff, right? And so $56,000 for a family of four, you are over income for free school meals. But estimates show that in most parts of New York State, you need to be earning at least $75,000 for a family of four just to meet basic needs, housing, healthcare, food costs. And I think we all can feel this, that costs are rising for absolutely everything. And families need that relief, even if they are above that 185% of the poverty level that has historically been used as an indicator of need. So we really do see that this is a policy that would benefit families across all communities, and especially in high cost of living areas like Long Island, the Hudson Valley, Western New York, where many schools were left behind last year.
Overall, Krista, it seems to me that it's still, the way we're going about it, patchwork. We're seeing the weaknesses and trying to fill those holes as opposed to what we were talking about, that people who work in New York can find themselves in a situation where they're working jobs and still can't afford to support themselves. Aren't there underpinnings here that are really at the heart of these problems?
Yes, you're exactly right. And patchwork, I couldn't say it better. We are relying on a patchwork system of federal options and state subsidies to maintain some form of means testing around school meals. These are meals for kids, despite knowing that that's a broken system. anytime you have an arbitrary income threshold, you're going to have families who are 50 cents over and desperately need the help but can't get it. And anytime you have an application process, you'll have families who aren't able to jump through all of the hoops. Maybe they have language or literacy barriers, or they're just hesitant to hand over their personal income information to ask for help, especially in smaller schools where you might very well know the person that you're submitting this application to. And arguably, that stigma is even further amplified in schools that people perceive as affluent. So at the end of the day, the only way to ensure equitable access to school meals is also the simplest solution. Just feed all the kids. It's okay. We see benefits across all income categories when we make sure that all kids are fed. Kids eat healthier meals at school. And we also see that the academic benefits of universal school meals are even more pronounced for kids who don't already qualify for free school meals. So we're really looking for a simple solution to a complex problem to move away from this patchwork system that's not serving anyone well.
That's Krista Hesdorfer, Director of Public Affairs for Hunger Solutions New York. I'm David Gustina, and you're listening to The Capital Connection. So in the legislature, who are your major sponsors of the legislation in the Assembly and the Senate?
We have incredible legislative champions in the Assembly. Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez-Rojas has been an extraordinary advocate for this bill. We have over 100 Assembly co-sponsors, and our prime sponsor in the Senate is Senator Michelle Hinchey, and she has been incredible as well. We have very strong support across both houses. We've also seen, you know, beyond our prime sponsors, just a very clear message from many senators and assembly members across the aisle that this is a priority for them and their constituents. So our education committee members have been speaking up loud and clear about the importance of this for academic outcomes. Folks who are concerned about health, who are concerned about food insecurity are speaking up, and even, you know, senators and assembly members who are thinking about agriculture are making those connections to farm to school. So it's really a robust and an overwhelming support from the legislature.
Obviously, there are Democratic supermajorities and the governor's a Democrat, so it shouldn't be a problem if Democrats want to pass the legislation. But just so we get a couple of names, if you have them for me, you mentioned Rojas and Hinchey. Those are Democrats. What about on the Republican side? Who's supporting it there?
Well, we have half of the Republican delegation in the Assembly signed on to the universal school meals bill. So it's probably more names than I can share with you in this moment. It's been incredible to see. I will say, you know, some of our really vocal Republican champions include the Long Island delegation. Senator Dean Murray has shared his personal story of experiencing stigma with school meals as a child and not wanting any child in New York to ever experience that. Like you said, it's been pretty remarkable to see the bipartisan support on this issue.
Let's turn to your organization specifically. Where does your funding come from at Hunger Solutions?
So Hunger Solutions New York is a statewide nonprofit anti-hunger organization, and our work focuses on maximizing access to and participation in federal nutrition assistance programs. So that includes programs like SNAP and WIC that provide food benefits directly to families so they can buy groceries at the grocery store or farmers markets. And it also includes work to expand access to meal programs that provide food for children in school, childcare, after school programs, and over the summer months. We do this work through a variety of strategies. We conduct outreach to raise awareness of the programs. We provide one-on-one assistance to help people connect with them. And we also advocate for state and federal policies that would strengthen and expand the reach of the programs. We receive some state funding to support those efforts, including state funding for the Nutrition Outreach and Education Program, which is a network of SNAP assisters across the state. And we also include some federal funds in there. Every state dollar that's invested in SNAP outreach is federally matched, which really expands our capacity pretty dramatically. And we have some private funding as well, because an increasing number of foundations, of private donors are seeing the work, especially on universal school meals, and they want to join the fight.
Yeah, well, part of the obvious struggle in a budget negotiation is how you cut the pie. I mean, it's the allocation of scarce resources, right? There's a pie, there's only so much in the pie, and you got to cut pieces with increasingly numbers of special interest groups coming in and wanting their piece. And certainly you as a nonprofit, you know, have the best interests in this case of children in mind in doing this. But we've seen in a warning from the governor and many other states as well of belt tightening. You know, you had the pandemic, you had a lot of money flowing into the states from the federal government, a lot of that stopping. And we've seen inflation in the meantime, especially when it comes to food and buying food. So two things that don't work good together, a belt tightening along with potentially more food insecurity.
Right. Well, and working for a nonprofit, I can certainly understand the need to prioritize scarce resources. We're always looking for, you know, how do we use our funding to have the greatest possible impact? And this policy, a universal school meals program, is an example of that really unique opportunity to have a modest investment with outsized returns. So closing the gap for the remaining students in schools across the state would cost about $90 million, which is a lot of money from an individual's perspective, but it's less than 0.1% of the state budget. We've had lawmakers describe it as a rounding error. And with just that modest state investment, you see a wide range of impacts across issues that matter to New Yorkers and that matter to lawmakers. This supports academic outcomes. It addresses food insecurity among children. It improves children's mental and physical health, builds capacity for farm-to-school programs, and it makes New York more affordable to families. So there's a lot of bang for the buck when you invest in school meals. And I'll also add that even if you're not moved by the case of the Healthy School Meals for Children, which you should be, it also happens to be a political home run. We did a poll with Sienna in the fall, and 77% of registered New York voters support state funding for universal school meals. So not just the concept that meals should be available for all kids at no cost, but that New York State should step up and do this for students across the state.
Okay, sort of a philosophical question for you, Krista. Why doesn't this happen? You know, we talk about America, and a lot of Americans like to think we're number one. But if we were number one, wouldn't we have the best health care, the most abundant food systems, the least poverty, and on and on and on?
You know, what a great question and something I ask myself a lot. I think it goes back to our earlier conversation about this misperception that we can meet the need through a patchwork system, that we can carefully cut around anybody who doesn't meet our definition of need. And that's just not true. To ensure that we are serving New Yorkers equitably, that no child goes hungry, we need to have a universal school meal program. And I can't, you know, speak for anybody else, but personally, I don't lose sleep at night thinking about the possibility that we might give a meal to a child who could technically afford to pay for it. I lose sleep over the kids we're missing who need that meal and aren't getting it because we are so committed to this system and all of its barriers from stigma to paperwork. So that's really the injustice that needs correcting. And it's a solvable problem. We have the resources and we just need the political will.
Yeah, and it's that same politics that often muddies the issue and tries to make it simple when, as you pointed out, it's much more complex than at first blush. Now, the meal is one thing, right? There's the meals that we give students, and then there's the quality of the meals that we give students, and that's loaded with politics. I mean, from the snacks that you give a student and whether they're actually healthy or not, there's arguments over whether dairy should be in the meals and fights over putting dairy back in the school meal program. So even when you agree on something like we need to feed all the children, you can't necessarily agree on what you should feed them.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of controversy within meal standards and requirements for school meals. I will say school meals have come a long way in the last decade. These are, you know, not your mother's school lunches. They're not even my school lunches from 15 or 20 years ago. Schools follow really strict nutrition standards. The meals include a variety of vegetables, fruits, proteins, whole grains. And more schools are incorporating local foods on their menus, which I think is something we can all get behind. And we see that when meals are available at no cost to all students, it builds capacity for improvements to meal quality. It allows schools to free up their resources. They're no longer tracking down meal debt, collecting these applications from families. They can use their staff time and energy to improve meal quality, to do taste tests with students, to make connections with local producers so they can have some farm-to-school programming. So it really goes a long way toward addressing some of these concerns that folks have with making sure that school meals are not just accessible, but they're as high of quality as we can possibly provide.
She is Krista Hestorfer, Director of Public Affairs for Hunger Solutions New York. You are listening to The Capital Connection. I'm David Gustina. What about yourself, Krista? How do you find yourself at Hunger Solutions New York? What got you inspired to work at an organization like this?
So I actually majored in government, education studies, and women's studies in college and understood this sort of intersectional issue of, socioeconomic inequality and the various impacts it has on our lives, and had an opportunity to help families directly with SNAP applications through the Nutrition Outreach and Education Program, really shone a light for me on the impact of federal nutrition programs specifically. So here in New York, about 1 in 10 New Yorkers, including nearly 1 in 6 children, are struggling with food insecurity. That's an enormous scale of a problem to try and solve. And federal nutrition assistance programs are the largest, the most effective, and the most sustainable tools that we have to address that problem. So I am very pleased to be working at Hunger Solutions New York, where we really focus our efforts on expanding access to all of those programs, whether it's SNAP, which is my original background, but also WIC and the child nutrition programs like school meals that we're talking about today.
Yeah, something dawned on me when you said you focused part of your studies on women's issues, women's studies. It dawns on me, a lot of this when it comes to food insecurity in families, I'm guessing a disproportionate part of that responsibility often falls to women.
That's right. We do see that food insecurity disproportionately affects households with children, especially women-led households with children. There's also serious racial disparities in food insecurity. This doesn't affect all communities equally. The USDA releases an annual food security report, and in their most recent report, they found that rates of food insecurity were twice as high among Black and Hispanic households compared to white non-Hispanic households. So there are a lot of intersections with the other root causes of poverty and inequality, including disparities in housing, healthcare, education, employment, and all of these root causes need to be addressed to alleviate food insecurity. But we also do know that the federal nutrition assistance programs go a long way in reducing those disparities and making sure that as many households as possible can meet their basic food needs.
When you go about your business educating legislators, do you, in your pitch, include the February report released by the Food Research and Action Center? And can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So the Food Research and Action Center is one of our national partners on this issue, and we're just now starting to see some of the data coming in on the impacts of states creating these healthy school meals for all policies. They went into effect largely last school year after the federal government let waivers expire that had allowed all schools to provide free meals for all. What we're finding in these states that continued a universal school meal program that stepped up for their students, school meal participation is increasing. In states that do not have a universal school meal program, there was a dramatic drop in school meal participation. So fewer kids are getting school breakfast and lunch compared to when meals were available for all students. We also see that in those states where meals are available at no cost, the state agency administrators are reporting a whole range of positive outcomes from reduced hunger, reduced stigma, streamlined administration, and improved academic outcomes and behavior. So all of the things that we've been talking about already are bearing out in the data coming out from that transition after we lost universal access to free school meals during the pandemic.
Just over a minute left in the program, Krista. I leave it open to you with this prompt. First, what are the chances this bill to fill in the gaps here passes? And what will you tell people in the final days as they negotiate if they're interested in helping put their voice to the issue?
We're really hopeful. We think that we're well positioned, that constituents, that students, parents, school administrators, food service directors have been making their voices heard, and that their lawmakers understand that this is a priority for New York families. We will, keep a close eye on this. We were in the same position last year where we had full funding in the Assembly and Senate One House proposals, and it didn't make it across the finish line. So, our understanding is this issue hasn't been decided yet. There's still opportunity for people to make their voices heard. We would really encourage folks to reach out to Governor Hochul's office, reach out to our legislative leaders and to your local representatives, and let them know what this would mean for your community and for your family. You can find a whole bunch of different resources to help you with that outreach on our campaign website, schoolmealsforallny.org.
We'll have to end it there. What a pleasure. We're out of time. Our guest has been Krista Hesdorfer, Director of Public Affairs for Hunger Solutions New York. Krista, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak about a very important issue affecting people across the state.
Thanks so much, David. I really appreciate it.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustino.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.